Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, sat down, his disciples came to him, he began to speak, taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, those who know they need God, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, those who know the depth of their sin and are sorry for it, for they will be comforted, because in Jesus they find a Saviour. And then for today, blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth." Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. That word meek, meekness, the world hates it. We don't like a person who's meek. We consider them, you know, weak somehow. They're not winners in the eyes of the world because they're not pushing themselves forward. And in fact, even in the church, we don't like it. We need to have large ecumenical gatherings in order to fulfill the purposes of God in the church and the world. We need to be big and strong and have a strong voice. That's why people don't speak, you know, from the church. We don't have a voice in government anymore because we're not strong enough. Because we have lost what it means to be meek. And even personally, we struggle with it because in a culture that's all about self and putting self forward and putting self first, even we ourselves in our own self, we feel we can't be meek because somehow that's weakness. For some reason, we think and we equate people who talk about themselves and are able to talk at length about themselves and able to write long sort of articles about themselves and things, you know, interviews and that kind of thing, we think that's a strong person. And believe me, I've been in interview situations where I have read the things that the person has written and it's been a lot about themselves. Not much about how they impacted the people they were trying to help, but it was a lot about themselves. And even indeed, when it came to the interview part, there was a sense of, I've got this because I've got the experience. And you can just appoint me right now. And somehow we think that's strong. Needless to say, that person didn't get the job. And we seem to think that those who look after others and are servants are somehow weak. They're not worth anything. They're not as strong. Why is that? I don't know. When we look at the Bible, you see examples of people who were meek. Meek men, in fact. Not women. We talk about meek men. Numbers 12:3 describes Moses as the meekest man on the face of the planet. You look at David. David was a strong warrior, but in his character, David never pushed himself forward. David sinned, and what do we have? We've got Psalm 51. So, you know, have mercy on me, O God. Jeremiah is another great example. I mean, you read the book of Jeremiah, and look at the message he had to bring to the people. His message was doom and gloom. And he was criticized at every point, because everything he said was negative. And everybody hated the fact that he had a horrible message. But what did Jeremiah do? He still delivered the message. He still gave it through. And then, of course, the example of the meekest of all is Jesus himself. And we'll talk about that in a minute. What is it that made these men meek? Because David was a strong man. He was a warrior. So meekness is not weakness. You can't say that somehow meekness is weakness. That's a wrong conception. That's not what meekness is. Moses was a shepherd. Now, shepherds in those days, you had to be a real bloke. I mean, you had to be out there in all weathers. You had to lead sheep. You had to sometimes pull them out of the mud. You had to, all kinds of stuff. It wasn't an easy life being a shepherd. And Moses was a shepherd for decades. Moses wasn't weak. Notice what these men had in common. They were all publicly facing. So they were all out there in the public domain. Their lives were open to others. Notice also that they all served. All of them served. And they made sure that other people, that the people of Israel, the people of God, advanced before themselves. And in opposition, they didn't retaliate. They had no spirit of retaliation. They left it for God. This is a picture of what true meekness is all about. It is not weakness, but it's great control in the face of opposition. It's serving for the advancement of other people before we serve ourselves. It's living lives which are, yes, open to scrutiny. It's, as Martin Lloyd-Jones says, it's all very well for the first two Beatitudes, blessed are the poor in spirit, like I know that I have no credit before God and I'm mourning because of my sin. It's all very well for me to say that, but when I let you come back and say, yes, you're a sinner, you need to be dealt with, that's what, you know, we suddenly get our laurels up. Well, hang on a minute, who are you to say that about me? But a meek man has no spirit of retaliation. These people, Jesus says, are blessed because they will inherit the earth. What does that mean? It means that our lives will be meek when we allow other people to comment on our state. It means when people comment on our way of living, we think, well, okay, whatever. And we're not bothered by it. We don't have an issue with it. Means though we will be those who live for other people before we live for ourselves. Means in opposition, we won't retaliate but make room for God. But the problem still remains. Meekness is not well perceived or known in the world or the church. Because we don't, you know, people don't like it. So how do we deal with it? Three things. First thing. Ask for more of the Spirit. Ask for more of the Spirit. As with every single beatitude in these verses here at the beginning of Matthew chapter 5, none of these is achievable on our own. And also we have to remember, they come as a whole package. So though we're going through it week by week, we have to remember that though there's an emphasis in one about sin, it doesn't mean that we don't have freedom in Christ. On the other hand, it's the character that Jesus is wanting to develop in us. We can't do meekness on our own. Lloyd-Jones says it's not a natural ability. It's not something you can do. It's not something that you just are born into. Oh, well, they're a very meek person, you know, they're pushovers. That's not what he's talking about. I love this phrase, this sentence from Don Carson. Some people are naturally nice and easygoing. But then again, so are some dogs. It's not natural. It's not a natural thing. It's not just that somebody's nice and meek. It's not what we're talking about here. It's not something that we can will or work towards in our strength. It just doesn't happen, you know, you're not born with it, this meekness that is talked about here. Instead, it's a work of the Spirit of God within us. It has to be something that the Spirit develops within us. So when we speak of the need to be meek in character, we speak essentially of needing to have more of the Spirit of God within us. We cannot hope to develop this on our own. We need the Spirit to lead us, as Jesus says in John 15, 14, 16. Yeah, just read John 14 to 16. Jesus says, the Spirit will lead you into all truth. And that means the truth of who we are in Christ, the truth of who we are in the flesh, because that also has an impact because we're not quite in the new kingdom. And the truth of who we are toward other people, especially. And that is the thing that characterizes meekness. It is about being outward facing. It's about our attitude towards other people. And you know as well as I do, your ability to cope with other people. You do. And the reality is, some people will wind you up. Not because they're particularly... there's something wrong with them, they'll just wind you up because we have the propensity to be wound up by other people. That's just the way it is. And people get on our nerves. But a meek person looks past all that. You see, when we discover the truth of our flesh, the poor in spirit in the morning because of sin, the first two Beatitudes, we're confronted with other people and our response to them. We've got to deal with that. And it's only with the work of the Spirit in us that we'll be able to actually be meek. That we'll only actually be able to be people who are open and honest and can take constructive criticism. Now, I'm not saying we're all pushovers and we all need to be pushovers. And it's not right for somebody to come up and criticise everything about you. That's not what I'm talking about. And that shouldn't be the case. We shouldn't be, oh, well, you did that and that was wrong and you shouldn't be doing that. It's not what I'm talking about. But it's that we can be open and honest with each other. As Paul says, if a brother sins, bring him back gently into the fold. And sometimes we need to talk to each other about the truth. When Paul says, tell the truth in love, he says it actually means truthing to each other. It actually means that open honesty and accountability with one another, that we can hear it and not retaliate. A meek person won't retaliate because they'll know that, oh, hang on a minute, there's some truth to this. I need to pay attention to it. A meek person is totally contented. Why? Because they'll inherit the earth. And I'll talk about that in a minute as well. But the first port of call to deal with this meekness and getting over the fact that meekness is weakness is ask for the Spirit. We've got to be, if we want to be meek in the way that Jesus talks about, we need to ask for the Spirit. And then the second thing is we need to learn from Jesus. So flick over to Matthew 11. Very famous words of Jesus, but very applicable here. He says, come to me, all you that are weary and carrying heavy burdens, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That verse 29, take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Jesus is the only one who can declare that he is humble and meek, fully and completely. And he invites the disciples and everybody else in this passage to learn from him. The King James, I love the way the King James puts it, learn of me. I don't like a lot of the King James, but I do like that phrase. Learn of me. And then the message has this phrase, learn the unforced rhythms of grace. Why the unforced rhythms? Why does Eugene Peterson choose to translate that phrase, learn the unforced rhythms of grace? And I think it comes back to the reality of the background of the passage. When we talk about a yoke, I'm not talking about a yoke of an egg. Jesus says, take my yoke upon me. What, you can't wear the yoke of an egg. It's ridiculous, isn't it? We all know what a yoke is. It's a piece of wood that's shaped for two oxen to pull a plough, effectively. Take my yoke upon you. And when the unforced rhythms of grace are the fact that you've got two oxen, I can't get my plurals right, in this yoke. And the way they used to train them was on one side they put an older ox who knew how to pull, who knew how to take orders, knew how to make a steady pace. And then you'd have a younger one who didn't know anything about anything next to the older one. And what Jesus is saying is that he's the older ox in the yoke. And when he says, take my yoke upon you, he's saying, work, learn from me. Be the other ox in the yoke next to me. Because the way I do it, you're not going to get tired out. You're not going to get burdened with religion. You're not going to get burdened with all this other stuff that you don't actually need. He's saying, learn from me. So in terms of learning, when I'm saying learn from Jesus to learn how to be meek, There is absolutely no way we can learn his ways unless we spend time with Jesus in the yoke. And the best way to do that is through the scriptures. One of the best ways to do that is through the scriptures. You read the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, and see how Jesus responds to criticism. You see how his life is lived, not for his own sake. You notice that Jesus, he says the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. He didn't have a house. He was dependent on other people to give him somewhere to sleep, because his whole life was lived for other people, not for himself. And the cross is perhaps the greatest example of that. God comes to earth to die for other people. And you see in Jesus a life that was perfectly contented, a life of purpose, and a life lived in humility. If we're going to be meek, we need to learn from Jesus. We need to learn from the Master. And the last thing, grasp your inheritance. Take hold of your inheritance. Grasp your inheritance. And what is it? What am I talking about? Because the thing is, the meek, he says, are the ones who inherit the earth. Inherit the earth. What does meekness have to do with inheriting the earth? Well, it goes back to Psalm 37. Psalm 37, verse 1. If I can find it. Do not fret because of the wicked. Do not be envious of wrongdoers. And then jump down to verse 11. But the meek shall inherit the land. The meek shall inherit the land and delight themselves in abundant prosperity. Verse 22. For those blessed by the Lord shall inherit the land, but those cursed by him shall be cut off. And then verse 34, wait for the Lord and keep to his way, and he will exalt you to inherit the land. You will look on the destruction of the wicked. Those that waited on the Lord, those that are meek, same principle applies today. They inherit the land. And he's saying, don't fret because of all the evil in the world. Yes, it's bad. Yes, it's awful. But eventually you will inherit the land. In the case of the Israelites, it was inherit the promised land. Not necessarily in the context of that psalm, but inherit the whole world. Wait for God's action and then you'll receive everything he's promised. Wait for God's action and you'll receive everything he's promised. For us today, for believers today, we have received everything in Christ. Ephesians 1:3, blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly realms. 2 Peter 1:3 that we talked about a few weeks ago. We have everything needed for life and godliness in the earth. Our inheritance is the earth. One day we will live in eternity on the earth. It won't be the same earth because it's going to regenerate the whole thing. And we have a bit of that kingdom now, but one day we will have the fullness of the kingdom. And that will be on the day when the whole thing is regenerated, the day of regeneration, as it's termed in some places. We have everything, and yet we're not quite fully there. So when I'm talking about grasping inheritance, I'm speaking about being people who are so contented in this life because they know what is theirs to come. They know what's coming. Blessed are the meek. The people who are not, that you don't have a spirit of retaliation because you know what God's going to do. You can be meek when you know that it's not all about you. God's going to do something even greater. And you can be contented in all situations. Paul knew this really well. Philippians 4, verse 12. And he says, verse 12, I know what it is to have little, and I know what it is to have plenty. In any and all circumstances, I have learned the secret of being well fed and of going hungry, of having plenty and of being in need. He says, I know what it is to be humbled and I know what it is to prosper. Both in the same sentence. Why? Because he knew what was coming. He's like, it doesn't matter what material things I have to deal with. And then in Romans chapter 8, verse 17. And if we're children, then we're heirs, heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if in fact we suffer with him, so that we may also be glorified with him. We are co-heirs with Christ in the kingdom. Blessed are those who are meek, because they know what's coming. Jesus has given us everything we need for now, and in the future we will have everything. The earth. That's incredible. That's what an inheritance we have. What characterizes the meek, the reason they can be serving to other people, the reason they can be not those who retaliate, the reason they can be the ones who don't get upset when something is said about them or to them regarding themselves, is because they are not worried about what will happen. They are not worried. This life isn't the only life. There is a new life to come that Jesus is going to bring when he comes back. All these other external things don't matter. Blessed are the meek, because they're secure in God. Because they know that they will be with Jesus for eternity. So when I'm talking about grasping hold of our inheritance, it means letting that be part of our everyday experience. That we are contented. And I'll give you a hypocrite warning. That has not been my experience this week in particular. Having said that, what I do know is that we can bring all things under subjection to the authority of God, and it can be our experience irrespective of how our flesh feels about it. We can be contented. He can relieve the burden. That's why he says, learn of me, take my yoke upon you. We can be contented because we know what's coming. We know that he's going to provide it all. So meekness is not weakness. Instead, it's great strength under control. There is no spirit of retaliation. Being meek seeks the good advance of other people before ourselves. Oh, they're late today. They're late, yeah. Being meek is being contented because we know our future's in Christ. So as we seek this character of Matthew chapter 5, this meekness, we need to ask for more of the Spirit to develop this idea within us, this character. Not just the meekness, but the whole lot. Learn of Jesus in scripture and in prayer and in fellowship. Learn from other people. Sermons are good. They're not great, but they're good. Get into a small group. Learn from each other. Learn of Jesus. And grasp hold of the inheritance. We begin everything we need in Christ. And the Spirit of God living within us is the guarantee of all of that, he says in Ephesians 1, which we've gone through before. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. They will inherit the earth, because we know he's coming back. We can be contented. Life doesn't have to revolve around us. It's not up to us to make sure that everything gets done. We've got to trust in him for it. Ask for the Spirit, learn of Jesus, grasp hold of the inheritance. And I don't know where you are in all of that. I know where I am in all of that. And I know that one of the ways through it is to allow God to be the one in control. If we're the ones that always have to be in control, it ain't going to work. We're going to find that the flesh takes over and God is left by the wayside. And we won't ever be contented. We'll never be happy. We'll never serve other people, because it'll all be about self. But when we give it up to God and let him take control, let his authority be the thing that we live by, then things will begin to change. Let's spend a moment in quiet. And just ask the Lord what it is that you needed to hear this morning. Maybe it was that actually you were not sure about the future. And you're worried. Maybe it's that you like to be in control. And you want to have all your I's dotted and your T's crossed. And you have to do it. Maybe you want to be meek, but you feel that you have to somehow conjure it up in yourself, and you know that you can't. Blessed are the poor in spirit, because they know they have no credit before God. Blessed are those who mourn because of their separation from God, but blessed are the meek, because in Christ we've received everything. So yes, in spite of the fact that we have no credit before God, and in spite of the fact that we have sinned and fallen short of God's glory, because of Jesus, we'll inherit the earth. Because we find ourselves in Him, the character He wants to produce in us is not a puffed up nature, but somebody who is strong because they know who Jesus is. And so, Holy Spirit, maybe we need to learn afresh of Jesus this morning. Maybe we think we've been living the Jesus way, but in fact, as we examine, we come to that poor in spirit in that morning. And we learn afresh that actually we need to be more like Him. Maybe we need to have more of the Spirit. Maybe we don't trust You, Lord, and we need to trust You more. Maybe we're afraid and not contented. Maybe we're always seeking after those material things. Maybe our life does revolve around ourselves and doesn't live for other people. And maybe we need to come to the reality of that today. And Father, thank You that in Jesus we are forgiven. Thank You that in Jesus we are set free from all of that. Thank You that in Jesus we can be like Paul, contented in humility, in humbleness, or in prosperity. Thank You that in Christ we can do all things. And Father, I pray for us where we need to change, where we need to make a course adjustment, where we need to learn more of Jesus, where we need more of the Spirit. Where we need to be contented because we know what's going to happen. Will You come now, Holy Spirit? And will You be speaking to our hearts? Where we need that assurance, will You bless us with that assurance? Where we need that invitation to accept more of You at work in our life? When we need that challenge, saying, oh, maybe I don't live for other people. Lord, will You come? Come and meet us where we are right now and help us to see You and to know You and to love You. So, Father, thank You that we will inherit the earth because of everything that Jesus has done. I pray, our God, that we will leave from this place more contented because of what You're going to do and because of what You are doing now. So we give ourselves to You in Jesus' name. Amen.